Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
Okay, well, we're gonna jump into this message I have today for Palm Sunday. I think we are mostly are aware of the story of Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday was the triumphal entry into Jerusalem before Jesus' death and resurrection. And it's a part of the Easter timeline. It's a part of the days leading up to Jesus' death. And one of the things that we have to understand about the time in history that this was happening when Jesus came was there was a governmental divide, and that Israel was enslaved to the nation of Rome. And there were Roman emperors that were overseeing, and all of their taxes and all of their money and all of their crops were being partitioned out to Rome. And there were the Sadducees and the Pharisees were actually two competing political parties, actually, that were competing over obeying Rome or an uprising against Rome. And so all the people that were like waiting for the King of Kings to come was actually waiting for this militant, charismatic king to ride in on a stallion with a sword in hand and lead an uprising against Rome. And that they thought their Messiah was going to come with this eloquence and this power and this strength to lead a political movement, because all of the religious sects of the day were all politically engaged. And so they believed that their Messiah was coming to do something earthly, something that was governmental and politically charged. And Jesus, when he came riding not on a stallion, but he came riding on a donkey, which was a sign. You see, when a king went to war and won, he came back riding a stallion. He came back riding a horse. He came back with soldiers. He came back to the clapping and the cheers and the hands raised. But when a king was coming through as a sign of peace, a peace treaty, a partnership was created, a wedding, whatever it might be, when the celebration was connected to peace and to joy, it was that the king would ride a donkey. And so Jesus, who's not a king, who's not who's really just a prophet and a man from the hills that thousands were watching, for him to come riding in on a donkey was actually a declaration that he was a king of peace. And when people were waving the palm branches, they were waving these celebratory palm branches of invitation into the city, saying, "Jerusalem receives you, King of Peace." And they were yelling, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna, Son of David." And when they were yelling that word Hosea was saying, "Come and save us right now. King of Peace, come and save us." And this declaration of this invitation for the victorious King of Peace, "Come and save us now." And they were declaring this and yelling this and chanting this out. Today is the day that we celebrate the invitation of Jesus to Jerusalem. "Come, O victorious King of Peace, come and save us now. Hosanna in the highest." You know, I don't know if I've ever given this message at a more relevant time than right now. You know, the turmoil that Jerusalem was in, and the restrictions on the people that was going on, and the raging and the arguments and the times that they were living in. I don't know if I've given this Palm Sunday message in a more relevant time than right now. You know, as I alluded to earlier, I think that for the first few weeks, we weren't really feeling the effects of the orders and the boundaries and the guidelines. But now, I don't know if there's a family watching that's not in some way or another that is feeling the effects, whether that's isolation and loneliness or whether that is fear and trauma. You know, there are thousands and millions of people that have a traumatic history, that has something in their childhood that they're seeking counseling for, and things like uncertainty or chaos can actually trigger trauma to a point where it's a time of depression, anxiety, and hysteria for people that don't really thrive in traumatic situations. There are people that are watching right now that have lived through trauma, and right now is a really hard time to wake up every morning just because of the uncertainty. You know, I think I saw 7 million people that are now considered unemployed and not receiving a paycheck. You know, there's obviously that brings a whole new level of anxiety and worry. You know, our kids will not go back to school. You know, and the school will probably be canceled until the fall. And, you know, families are feeling the strain of raising their kids. And I saw numbers that, you know, that depression, trauma, anxiety are an all-time high. Domestic, in some places, hospitals aren't seeing any corona cases, but they are seeing, and they're prepared for them. They're ready for them. They know that it may come in soon, but there are many hospitals that are seeing twice, if not three times as many domestic abuse situations as families are stuck together, and there's no foundation or health in the family to steward a season like this. I've been hearing, not just personally, but even from other pastors and friends who are texting me saying, pray for this couple, and pray for this couple, and couples in their church that already had rocky marriages are now having to go through trauma and difficulty and all the strain of life and disappointments and pains and all that right now, and not having a job, and it's leading to tension in their marriage that was already rocky. And I've been getting reports of marriages that are already like filing for divorce, and you know there's going to be a wave of divorces that come out of this corona season. I'm not prophesying that, but that's what's happening. Suicide rates are through the roof, and you know, we're all having things that are taken from us, weddings and holidays. I'm not trying to be depressing. I'm just saying I want to identify with the reality of the domino effect of the decisions that are going on around the nation. There's nobody that you know that's not being affected in some way or another by this season of time. And I say all that to say that we're all in this together, and it's a traumatic time and a difficult time. And the domino effect of the social and economic fallouts of the season are being felt by everyone. But this is a moment like we've never lived in all across the globe. And I want to present to us, though, that there's never been more of a time that we could echo the cry of a people in Jerusalem that says, come, O victorious King of peace, come and save us now. There's never been a time that we could echo that like right now. There's never been a time that the presence of the victorious King of Peace who dwells in our hearts is unmoving, and that we can identify the unshakable nature of the King of Peace in times of uncertainty. There's never been a time like right now for us to identify the unshakable nature of God's Spirit. I would go even as far as to say that the Spirit of God was given to us for times such as right now, that we would be able to exist in a reality that is countercultural to the entire world around us. I believe that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And although all these things are going on, that there's an unshakable nature of who God is, that there was no like fine print in the statements of His peace and His joy and His power and His healing. You know, I had a really cool thing, you know, just the other day. We got our interns on the call, and one of the ladies on the call said she had rheumatoid arthritis that was in her lower back, but actually began to move up and was excruciating pain through her necks and her shoulders. And we prayed over the live stream, and she got healed right there. All the pain left her body. And the cool part is that God's not limited to a room or to a way of doing ministry, that His presence and His nature always stays the same, and that no matter what age that we live in, no day to come or day that we've been through, He's the same God right now as He's always been. And what I want to share this morning is that God is looking for a universal cry from home to home to home to home to home that goes, Hosanna in the highest, we're inviting you into our situation, to our cities, into our times. And that there would be, as we're entering this Easter season, where, you know, even next Sunday, I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, the message for Easter, this is months ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, the message for Easter is it's never over when God is authoring the story. And some of you need that message right now, and we're going to hit it so hard next week. But right now, what I want to present to us is that God's nature is unshakable in times of uncertainty, and that we could actually live in an environment and into His presence that never changes, and all the things around us in life may fall to the ground, but we remain exactly the same because we remain in Him. And I want to get into that because, man, I'm going to preach this until I kill it. But I believe this could be one of the greatest hours for the church. But I really do believe that God's inviting us into participation to his unshakable and unchanging nature, that we would become carriers of that unshakable presence of God that would emanate from our lives. And as I was praying into this, I had a few verses that were coming to my mind and coming into my heart. And I want to talk about three things that's available to you right now. And there's no fine print. They are always the same. These three things I'm about to share with you, they never change. And there's no season goes, well, there that's available except for this situation. It doesn't say that. His presence is always available and always stays the same. And the first thing I want to talk about is surpassing peace. No matter what you are going through, the peace of God always remains available to you. And I don't mean that it becomes harder to get into. It's always available to you. It's always right in front of you. It's always 6 inches from your face. You just got to reach out and grab it. The presence of God always stays the same. And it says in Philippians 4:7, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. For the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Not just peace, it's peace that surpasses all understanding. Let's say that again. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Let's just be honest right now. I think fear, anxiety, hysteria is default mode right now. It's just like, if you're not feeling it, then you're not alive. Like, there is just like a, we're in this together, we're all afraid. Time out. We're in this all together, but we're not all afraid. We can all take the season seriously and stay at home and follow guidelines, but we're not afraid. We're wise, but we're not fearful. Our actions are motivated by wisdom and power and freedom, not by fear and hysteria and worry and anxiety. There is a peace that does surpass all understanding. The availability of God's peace never changes in his presence. Fear, worry, anxiety do not exist in the presence of the Lord. He doesn't have it. He doesn't give it. He doesn't inspire fear. He doesn't inspire anxiety. He doesn't inspire worry. He inspires peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the victorious King of Peace. And when he is invited in, he carries peace. I said it earlier in Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. In Philippians 4:7, it says there's a peace that surpasses all understanding that will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus. You know, one of the things that, I tell people all the time is that thoughts begin with suggestions. And then thoughts become emotions and emotions become behaviors. And oftentimes we have a lack of self-awareness that when we're starting to get like anxious with people, we're kind of getting like, we're getting confrontational. We are becoming unkind. There are things that are not from the virtue and the nature of God. The things that are not the fruit of the Spirit begin to flow out of us. And we have no idea why we're operating in that way. And we don't have the self-awareness to identify, I'm living in such anxiety and worry that there are behaviors that are now not bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but they're bearing divisiveness and discord and frustration and anger. And if we would have self-awareness, we would understand that the seedbed for all these behaviors is fear, insecurity, vulnerability, all that kind of stuff. It says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it all the issues of life, all the behaviors of life are going to flow out of that heart. But it says there's a peace that surpasses all understanding, and it will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus. And so this is a time, but he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Are you daily making space to pray, to spend time with the Lord, and to give thanks? He says that's literally the ingredients for a peace that surpasses all understanding. Are you making the time? Are you engaging the presence of the Lord and making space for him and inviting him into your day? Number two, we can be fruitful. In Ezekiel 47, there's this river that Ezekiel sees that flows from the throne of God, the Eastern Gate, which is the gate that Jesus rode through, right? The Eastern Gate, where the presence of the Lord is flowing from, this river is flowing from the Eastern Gate. And it says, wherever the waters go, I think I've mentioned this in the past few weeks before, but wherever the waters go, the salty waters are healed. And it says that there are trees on both sides of the river. And along, it says in verse 12, and along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, in season and out of season, because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves will be for the healing of the nations. Listen, this might seem like a time that is barren and difficult, but this is not just a barren and difficult moment. This is a season to be fruitful. Because it says that the trees bear fruit in season and out of season. We might go, this might be an out of season kind of time. I'm not around people. What do? I kind of feel stuck. I'm not working. I feel like all my resources have been taken away. Even still, you might feel out of season, but those who are drawing their waters from the sanctuary are bearing fruit in season and out of season. And it says that their fruit will be for food. You are called to nourish people right now. There is a starving and hungry society, and you're called to not only, you know, come and to support the distribution center and drop off essential needs, you're called to nourish your neighbor. You're called to make a phone call and give the word that will feed their soul right now. You are a mouthpiece of heaven that has the very words of life dwelling inside of you. Do you remember when Jesus said, well, are you 12? The crowd scatters. They don't want anything to do with him. And Jesus said, how about you? And they says, where else could we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Do you realize now, because the Spirit of God dwells in you, the rhema word of God dwells in you, you carry the words of life that will set captives free, that will open prison doors, that will bring liberty, and will nourish your neighbor and nourish the people that are starving and crying out right now. You know, we could fill a box of essential needs and deliver it from door to door. But you know what? What's in that box is only a knock on the door. It's actually the prophetic word inside. It's the human touch. It's the phone call that will actually save the soul in the season. Humanity was made to go through incredible, difficult things, but not apart from the Holy Spirit. We were called to do it with the Holy Spirit. And man, your neighbor, your friend, your family needs the word of life that you carry right now. Your fruit will be for food, and your leaves will be for the healing of the nations. There's a healing move inside his church just waiting for outstretched hands. There, let me say it again. There is a movement of healing inside the church right now. There's a movement of healing inside the church. It's just waiting for outstretched hands. Come on, you were created to heal the sick. Your hands were created to carry the power of the Holy Spirit. Someone needs to get in the face of God until they go to bed and come up with a dream from the Lord. And they have a dream from the Lord that ends a pandemic. Somebody needs to wrestle with God until they come out with healing. Someone needs to press in for breakthrough until they see a miracle. I mean, I could tell you story after story after story of those that went before us that had incredible illnesses and sicknesses, and they contended until they saw a breakthrough and healing was released through their lives. We were created for healing, and there's a healing virtue in the presence of the Lord. You know, we don't want to just survive in this time. We want to bear fruit. We don't just want to survive. We want to thrive in the season. You know, sometimes we look around and we think the climate of our day is not one that bears fruit. It feels barren. But our definition of success in those seasons that feels like barren is just, let's just get through it. Let's just survive it. You were never created to live in that environment. You were always created to live as one who lives. You don't respond. You don't react. You lead in the season. And you have the very thing that the nations of the earth are crying out for inside of you. You all creation's groaning and waiting for the revealing of the sons and daughters of the living God. They're the inheritance to rule and reign is dwelling inside of you. Do not shrink back, church. You are called to be bright and to be loud. And we don't even got to gather in a church building. We can get out of the church building. We can get on our phones, on our computers. We can go to our prayer room, and we can make an impact in this time. You were called to bear fruit. The season isn't dry. It's not broken. It's teeming with life and opportunity. And if you're having a hard time seeing it, I want you to take a few minutes, put a hand on your head, and just begin to command every thought, in your mind to come into alignment. God, I want to see how you see every emotion. I want to feel what you feel. I want to see what you see. I right now break agreement with every lie that makes me feel like I am under the season, not over the season. I am below and not above. I am beneath and not the head. I am the tail. And whatever those thoughts are right now, we just take authority over it in Jesus' name. And we say, God, let us see what you see and hear what you hear. I just want to encourage you to contend and say, God, show me the open doors to share the life and the nature and the glory and the manifest presence of God with those around me. In Romans 8:36, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things, come on, friends, you may have never been persecuted in famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. This might be the first time in your life you can identify with this verse. So listen to fresh ears. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We've always just, yay, we're more than conquerors. And you've never had a season where maybe you felt like that really applied, like right now. And I want to declare it again. You are more than conquerors through him who loves you. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, no height, no depth, no created thing, no virus, no government, no guideline can separate me from the love of God which is in Jesus. The love of God that tore the veil, that gave his son, that rose on the third day, the very love that came and pursued you down, it never shuts down, it never closes. It's an essential business, and it's 24/7, it's 365, always available. He never closes his doors. The vats of heaven have not shut. They're wide open for you. When we abide in his presence, we're never separated from the life source of fruitfulness. Come on, that is available to you right now. Come on, contend and knock on the doors of heaven. Say, open wide over my family. Wash over us. Wash us from the yuck we've been reading and hearing and listening to. Let your reality consume our reality. I want to bear fruit. And you're the life source that never runs dry. You are the life source that never shuts up. It never goes away. It never separated from us. You're always the same. You always love. You always pour out. You always give all of yourself for us. Now, more than ever, you are called to be fruitful. Not only you're called, you are able to be fruitful. And last but not least, we can be powerful in this time. And this is the verse I was wrestling with all stinking week. I felt like this was the word of the Lord over this morning. And it comes out of 2 Chronicles 7:12, where Solomon has just taken all the resources of his father David and all of the land that Father David gave him. And he builds a house of prayer. And he calls all the priests together. And they gather together and they begin to sing to the Lord. You are good and your love endures forever. It says without rank or divide, they sang in unison. You are good and your love endures forever. It says fire fell from the heavens and consumed the sacrifice. And smoke filled the room. And they fell on their faces and they worshiped the Lord. And as the presence of God showed up. I think we need one of those moments in America right now. And they begin to lift their voice. And it says that the Lord visits Solomon at this moment. And the Lord, it says in verse 12, it says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Listen to that. I've heard your prayer and I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens and there's no rain, or I command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among the people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal the land. And now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers made in this place. For now I have chosen and I have sanctified this house, that my name will be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Friends, I don't know about you, there's something about that last verse that stirs my heart. If I could look at my own home and say, God, may you choose this place and sanctify it as your own. That your ears would be open to the prayers that are prayed in this place and that your eyes would be upon my home perpetually. Like, it stirs my heart that I could make that connection with the Lord and invite his presence, that he would sanctify my home. The eyes of the Lord would perpetually be there and his ears would be attentive to the prayers made in that place. Solomon made a house of the Lord where worship and prayer would go before him continually. Solomon made hosting the presence of God his priority. And when he did that, God called it a house of sacrifice and said, because you built a house of sacrifice, when famines and plagues come upon the land, I'm going to turn my ear to your prayers and you will have greater influence than all the other voices in the land. Because you made a place of prayer. You sanctified a place and you gave it to me. And you offered up incense and you offered up worship. You offered up prayer. You invited me and you created a dwelling place for me. I'm going to give you the loudest voice in all the land. And even though these things will come and they will scourge the earth, if my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and I will give you authority in the midst of it to turn the tides of what's happening in the day, what's happening in the hour. I'll give you the voice of authority over it. Come on, I don't know about you, but I feel like this is a message that the Lord is calling us to build a house of his presence, to host his presence in our homes. And when we create that place, God wants to show up and give his people power. God wants to show up and give them the voice of authority. I do believe that there is a movement of prayer that can rise up in this hour. I saw a statistic that the prayer lives of individuals all over the nation are up 50%. And that's fantastic. Like that's a great statistic, but I promise you this. The prayer is, oh God, where are you? Oh God, where are you? Oh God, where are you? God, we need you. God, get my job back. I know that the prayer life is, God, save me from the virus. But I'm telling you that God wants to turn the prayers of fear into prayers of power. Back again, where we say, God, your presence alone. God, your presence is enough. God, we're commanding this wave of the virus to turn back on its head right now. I'm commanding a wave of healing to go out across the nations and joy to come to my public officials, joy to come to my town, unique strategies to take care of the poor, that you would put a shadow of protection over my neighborhoods and my cities, that it would not befall my town. Like there is another prayer movement that's going to arrive out of that 50% that's going to sweep across the nations, and it will not be prayers of fear and anxiety, but prayers of power that's emerging from our homes, because we know that there's an unshakable spirit that dwells inside of us, and we can say, Hosanna in the highest, O victorious King of peace, come and save us now and invade our cities, invade our homes. We can wave our palm branches and let God come and invade America through our prayer life. Among all of these things that I said, there's one constant theme through it all, is that there is peace, there is fruit, there is power, there is joy, there is breakthrough, there is healing, there is encouragement, there is life, there is unity, there is strength. But all of it comes in his presence. It's all in his presence. We can't sit and wait for God to do something and just wait and wait and wait. And if he does it, he does it. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. God is looking for us to partner with him right now. I'm telling you, if you're feeling any weight from the season, dig into the presence of God. I know you all are. Some of you are busier than you've ever been. Some of you are on the front lines. Some of you are carrying the lack of other things going on. Even in the business sense, some of you are business owners and you're restaurant owners and all that, and you are working harder to keep your staff and to keep your finances, to keep your small business. You're feeling the strain and the tension. And I am telling you right now, you cannot do this alone. There is an unshakable spirit of God that the Lord wants you to invite and to host his presence, that your homes would become abodes of his glory and his presence, and that his unshakable spirit would hold you up and create fruit and peace and joy and the healing for the nations and food for your neighbors would come forth from your life. I want to encourage you right now, guys, I can't do this alone. You can't do this alone. You cannot go through this season alone. You need the presence of God. Don't ignore him. Don't forget about him. Don't assume he's going to come or he's not. Engage his heart. Host his presence. And watch everything begin to turn for you. Your children will feel it. Your marriage will bear witness of it. Your emotions, your heart, your mind, your sleep will bear witness of the rest that's in his presence. Your dreams will bear witness of the rest in his presence. Your communication with neighbors and friends will bear witness of the presence of the Lord in your life. The words of wisdom that come out of your mouth that just break through in someone's heart that you're on the phone with. The opportunities that get created, the ideas that happen will all bear witness of the presence of the Lord emanating from your life. We cannot do this alone. And so I want to encourage you all in the season, just press into his presence a little further. Press into his presence a little deeper. Let Palm Sunday be a day that we are reflecting upon the Lord and we're saying, come, come, Holy Spirit. Come, victorious King of peace. He's not a militant king riding on a stallion that's going to break down your door. He is a victorious King of peace riding a donkey to the crowds crying out of invitation. You're welcome here. We welcome you. Partner with his presence. Worship the Lord. You are good and your love endures forever. Let the cloud of his glory fill your home right now. You might be going through something. Maybe you have a fight with your spouse. You don't know what to do. You're both just fed up with the chaos of life and all this has brought. You have no options and no date nights and you missed a birthday and all that stuff. We just say you are good and your love endures forever. Let the cloud of his glory just come right now and rest upon it. You might be busy and tired and you just don't know what to expect. You're feeling the anxiety from the uncertainties of tomorrow and the chaos where your life is not your own and everything's out of your hand and out of your control. We just say, you are good and your love endures forever. King of glory, we welcome your presence. We just want to host you right now. We need your presence. This is what we were created for, God. Lord, bring your peace. Create fruit from my life. Make me powerful in this moment, this hour. We host your presence. Come on, I just invite you to do that in your home right now. I want to encourage you to create a routine out of this and one that you will emerge out of this season saying, man, that was one of the most important seasons of my life because I learned how to rise early with him and go to bed meditating upon his presence. I learned how to go to his presence in all situations and circumstances. It changed my life forever because I learned how to carry peace. I learned how to be fruitful in all seasons and I learned how to know the power that resides within me and influence the world around me. I'm praying that all those things emerge out of your life. We love you all, and we miss you dearly. And we cannot wait. There's all these memes about pastors. We're gonna flip and go nuts. We're gonna have an all day stinking church service when we're allowed to get together again. But until then, let's be hosts of his presence, and let's create a global prayer movement of power and not one of fear, one of peace and not one of anxiety. We love you guys. Bless you.